As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and I am happy to be here with you today, August 29th. And it's a nice warm weekend. It's been a warm week. Hopefully you guys are staying cool and hydrated out there. We just started fall baseball here in my community, and I'm coaching a senior team. And, man, it's been a couple hot nights of practice. But the good news is we had amazing turnout at tryouts, and I've got myself a nice little team. And so a great group of hardworking boys, talented athletes, and I think we're going to have a great fall season. And I am just blessed, and I know these boys feel blessed as well, that we're able to get out there and do something. We have been on lockdown. The Kate Brown mandates and the ridiculous COVID requirements have pretty much stripped this last year away from our kids. And so it's nice to be able to get out and do something with each other and watch kids do what they love, do what they enjoy, and just goof around and have fun together as kids. It's still unknown what's going to happen this year with school. It seems like things keep getting pushed back further and further. Kate Brown, it doesn't sound like she's really interested in letting us carry on until maybe even April with the first chance of getting the kids back into the classroom. If you're like me, my wife and I have been really concerned about what that means for our kids' education. We have a kid that's going to be a senior, my daughter, Anna. And we have our son, Noah, is going into junior high. And it's really concerning. The senior year, the upcoming senior year for these kids is just completely destroyed in a lot of ways. A lot of the fun things that they get to look forward to as seniors, things that they have worked for the last 18 years, things that definitely the last 4 years they have seen on their horizon and could not wait to participate in, and now they're being told that, nope, you can't do that this year. We're not going to school. Even if we get back to school, it's going to look very different, and those fun social activities are probably going to be thrown out the window. It's really sad. I know the graduating seniors of the class of 2020, they had it kind of rough, but they got the majority of their school year, and most of the schools figured out how to put on some type of a graduation form. The class of 2021, though, they're missing out on almost all their athletics, or at least the way they would traditionally have their athletics. There's not going to be any fall sports until after the first of the year at the earliest, and then they're going to try to cram a bunch of sports in that last half of the year if we get the green light from Dictator Brown. But, you know, we come from a football community in Dallas, and we're big in football and wrestling, and, you know, of course we do all the sports, but not having fall football in our community is a big deal. The entire town supports our football program. And then as a senior, there's so many fun activities that take place during those months and senior activities. And like I said, it's stuff they look forward to their entire life. My son that's going to be in junior high, really worried about the quality of education he's going to get. This distance learning, no matter how hard the schools are trying to put something together that works, that is successful, it's just not going to be the same. And we're parents that care and are going to engage and do everything we can to help our kids be successful. The sad thing is, there's a lot of parents that don't. And there's going to be a lot of these kids that are just on their own and left fending for themselves, so to speak. And I just looked at the calendar today of how some of this distance learning is going to look like. And the schedules like from 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And it looks to me right now like they're expecting kids to be in front of a computer for those periods of time. And I'm thinking, my gosh, how do you get a kid to sit still and stay focused and stay productive for that many hours of the day, 5 days a week? Even if parents are there and can hover right over them and supervise that, it would be a hard task. But a lot of kids aren't going to have parents there, and they're just going to have to be trusted to do it themselves, take care of business themselves. And I just do not see any way that this is going to be successful. I'm trying to stay positive. I want to be optimistic about it. But I'm really nervous about the kids' education and what's going to be happening with the distance learning. And also the kids that are struggling already and kids that don't come from a very good household. What kind of pressure does that put on them? And what kind of environment are we forcing them to stay in and day out without making sure that they're getting the things that they really need? So the message here is, if we want to stop this crap that's going on, because we now know COVID is not nearly as dangerous. I've said this for the last couple months. Remember when it first came out, I was encouraging people, hey, let's just comply. Let's follow the rules until we know more. I know more. I'm woke. You know more. Constantly, every day, we're getting more information, and the information we are receiving is telling us this COVID is nothing. It's nothing to be afraid of. The reason why we're locked down, the reason why we can't continue life as we know it, is because we have a dictator in charge. So how do we fix that? Well, we got to get rid of Kate Brown. Look, friends, that recall effort, it's amazing. It looks like we have the signatures. It looks like we're going to be able to possibly do this. I'm crossing my fingers and I'm holding my breath right now because we are on the finish line and it looks really positive. But our work is not done. If we successfully have enough signatures to get a recall going, our work has just begun. And now it's time for us all to band together, unite, and canvass the neighborhoods and get everybody behind this. Because if it goes on a ballot, if we can vote to get her out, we have to seize the moment. We have to take this opportunity and we have to do everything in our power to make sure it's successful. That is how we're going to fix Oregon. Kate Brown is destroying this state. Kate Brown has destroyed our children's education. She's messing with their futures, and it's fully in her authority. There's nobody that can stop what she's doing unless we recall her. At least there's nobody that's stepped up to the plate yet that will try to stop what she's doing. I don't know why. I don't know why she seems to have this power that, you know, nobody seems to ever want to challenge. But bottom line is, we the people, the voters, we need to speak up. We need to band together. And you know what? I know that there's Democrats that listen into this station. And I know some of you guys might listen to us just to kind of mock us. Maybe you're trying to get your own material. Some of you guys might be fence riders. But come on, man. If you're a Democrat, you cannot tell me that Democrat policies are helping your life right now. You cannot tell me that what Kate Brown has done to Oregon is good for you and your family. You can't tell me what Kate Brown is doing to your children's education is good for their futures. You cannot tell me that the taxes that she's charging you and the way she's hurting small businesses and the way she's hurting industry, you cannot tell me that any of that translates to anything good for you and your family. It's time to stop voting party line just because you have a D in front of your name. Just because your parents had a D in front of their name, just because your grandparents had a D in front of their name, you know what? Step up, be a man. It's time to take personal responsibility. You guys, you Democrats here in Oregon that have seen our state ran to the ground by Democrat leadership, you guys have the power to change this. I'm not saying you got to run down and register for the Republican Party. There might be a lot of reasons why you want to stay a Democrat. I can't think of any, but, you know, to each his own. There might be some reasons why you want to stay a Democrat, but that doesn't mean you have to support all Democrats. It doesn't mean you have to support all Democratic policies. It doesn't mean you have to support this governor. I'm telling you, we have an opportunity in Oregon to make things better. And the first thing we have to do is recall Kate Brown. And it's going to take a bipartisan effort of Republicans and Democrats to work together for a common goal, for a common good, for Oregon, for the kids, for their future, for everybody's future, for our economy, for our society. Are you seeing what's going on in Portland right now? Are you seeing what's going on? The complete anarchy, the rioting. We talk about this every single week. Should we have to be talking about this every single week? This has strung out for months now. I've told you 100 times, this kind of garbage should have been stopped on day one. The first law that was broken, it should have been shut down. But it's not. It's not been shut down. And that's because we have weak leadership. And you know what? A lot of people are sitting back saying, Kate Brown's so stupid she can't run Oregon. Don't underestimate that witch, my friends. Don't underestimate Kate Brown. She's not stupid. She's doing exactly what she's been told to do. She's doing exactly what she thinks is necessary. She wants to destroy our economy. She wants to destroy our state because in their screwed up mind, in their state of mental, whatever you call it, instability, they think that that is going to help them in the future. They think that is going to help them get rid of their biggest problem. And their problem right now is Donald J. Trump. President Donald J. Trump, and might I add, I believe he will be reelected in a landslide. Now, I do think that some of the Democrats are starting to wake up a little bit. I think that Brown and even Wheeler might be realizing that allowing these riots to continue the way they have is actually starting to backfire and could hurt them. But I feel like they feel like they're embedded in this mission right now, and they've kind of worked themselves into a corner. If they shift gears, if they change direction, it's going to prove to everybody that they were indeed wrong the entire time, and they can't have that. But if they do nothing, it's going to further, you know, continue to make people upset with them. So I feel like they're backed up in a corner, and I don't know exactly what they're going to do. Some of the talk they've had this last couple days has been kind of interesting to listen to. To me, it just tells me that they're getting a little bit nervous, getting a little bit scared. They think that they might actually be helping Donald Trump instead of hurting Donald Trump. But you know what they say about an animal that's cornered, an animal that's backed up against the wall, my friends? Those are the ones you got to be careful with because they're unpredictable. And who knows what they might try to do? Who knows what the animal, Kate Brown, might try to do just out of revenge? Because let me tell you, liberalism, my friends, it is a mental disorder, and they are sick in the head, and they have no moral boundaries, and vengeance is a dish best served cold. Remember when she said that? So what will she do? What vengeful actions may she take to hurt Oregonians just because she's Kate Brown, she's Dictator Brown, and that's what she can do? So remember, be careful, my friends. Don't let your guard down. Pay attention what's coming next. She's already talked more about restrictions, maybe shutting down restaurants and bars again and tightening up mask requirements, things like that. A lot of things that make no sense. Again, question, if masks work, how come we can't send our children to school with masks on? Simple as that. If masks work, why can't we send our children to school with masks on? If masks work, why are you releasing inmates? Why don't you make the inmates wear the mask? You see, the mask, it's a joke. It's a hoax. They don't work. They're not going to help you. Okay? And the bottom line, this COVID, if you've been walking around, if you've been trying to live your life, if you've been at the grocery store, my guess is the majority of us have already been exposed. My guess is the majority of us, when we go and get a test, finally, if we ever get tested, if something else comes up and we've got to go to the hospital or maybe we're getting the flu and we get tested, my guess is the majority of us are going to be testing positive for COVID. Mark my words, when the flu season hits this fall, when the weather change, when it starts getting a little bit more damp and cold, and people get their traditional cold and flu bugs that happen every single year, mark my words, COVID will be the culprit. That's what they're going to say. Stick with us. Don't turn that dial, friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and I am glad to be here on this fine Saturday afternoon talking to you guys, my fellow patriots. And on that note, what does it mean to be a patriot? What are you willing to do for your country? What are you willing to do for your community? What are you willing to do for your fellow American citizens? Because we're at war, okay? I've talked about it coming. I've talked about it being on our doorstep knocking. I've talked about the need for us to be prepared. But the reality is, after I've witnessed what I've witnessed this last couple days, what's going on in Wisconsin and Minneapolis and Chicago and Portland and Seattle, my friends, we are at war. The enemy, they don't know what they're fighting for. They're not necessarily Democrats. They're not necessarily Biden fans. They probably couldn't even tell you who Biden is. Shoot, most people don't know who Biden is anymore because the guy has been missing in action. He's been staying in mama's basement for the last several months. They're afraid to put him out and talk to anybody. Unless you're Carly B, you don't get an interview with Biden because he can't have a coherent conversation. And they're afraid to put him out. Nancy Pelosi, did you hear her this week? She said it's not necessary to have a debate. It's not necessary to have a presidential debate. We've been having presidential debates for centuries. And now this year, because of the candidate that the Democrats selected, they don't want a debate. They don't want to debate Donald Trump. Donald Trump will wipe the floor with Joe Biden. Joe Biden cannot debate. That's the reality. And so the Democrats are going to do everything they can to keep him from debating. And they're going to be blaming COVID. Everything gets blamed on COVID. It's not safe. It's dangerous. No, he can't come out and debate. They're already setting the stage for that. They don't want him to debate Trump because Trump will make him look terrible. Biden looks terrible when he is talking to somebody that's on his side that is setting him up for success, somebody that is propping him up and trying to make him look good to the public, and Biden fails in that arena. Imagine what he's going to do when he's faced against Donald Trump. Yes, my friends, Joe Biden cannot debate. He will not debate. Okay, they're going to do what they can to keep him from debating. Mark my words. So, do you want a president? Do you want a leader that can't come out and talk to the American people, that won't come out and talk to the American people, that can't negotiate with our adversaries? How do you have any type of leadership when there is none? When the leader that you look to can't communicate with anybody, how do you think China would walk over the top of us if Biden was the president? How do you think those negotiations would go? How do you think trade negotiations would go? How do you think the sanctions would go? What about Russia? What about the UN? See, there's nothing Biden brings to the table. There's nothing Biden brings to the table. And then Kamala Harris, their token black woman, nobody likes her. Biden didn't choose her. Biden was told he had to choose her. Why? To appease people. We have to get a woman. We have to get a minority. We have to get a person of color who checks those boxes. Ironically, Kamala Harris checks those boxes. But out of the entire field of Democrat potentials in the primaries, Kamala Harris was the one. She was out first. Kamala Harris had less than 1% of the Democrat people supporting her. The Democrats don't like Kamala Harris. You would think if you are the presidential nominee for your party, that you would pick somebody that the Democrats at least like. But instead, you pick their least favorite choice. You would think that it'd be like the first choice and the second choice. I mean, if you thought of it that way, I guess that'd make Bernie Sanders the candidate. But, you know, I get they wanted to play that race card. They wanted to have that female black person to try to get those black votes that they act like they care so much about. They only care about the vote during the election. They don't care about the black community. Democrat Party has proven that over and over and over again. They are the party of oppression. They are the party of the KKK. They are the party of slavery. That's our history. That's not a lie. You can fact check that. We all know that's true. No matter how hard they try to change our history, no matter how hard they try to paint the Republican Party as being the racist, conservatives as being racist, the truth is, history speaks loud and clear, and it doesn't take a lot of research to look back and understand. No, everything they say, all the finger pointing they do, it's really them. It's really their party. They are the ones who have mistreated minorities. They are the ones that have put their knee on the neck of minorities. Yes, the Democrat Party, they are the evil ones. They're the ones responsible for killing over 800,000 innocent babies a year. Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and Baby Lives Matter. And they are the ones that are hurting all of that. Now, if you want leadership, take a look. Take a look at what's happening this week. The Republican National Convention, what a breath of fresh air. That party, too, is changing. It's not the party of the Bushes. It's not elitism. It's not rich white dudes. That party is truly a working class party. And that party is changed and transformed because of the Donald Trump administration. And if you didn't get that, if you didn't understand that after watching this week at that convention and hearing all those amazing, beautiful speakers, I don't know what else could convince you. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back. Lots more here up on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show this fine Saturday afternoon, Patriot Uprising Radio. And let me tell you something. Whew, it's been an awesome week for the Republicans. Donald Trump is rocking it. His polls are climbing. The economy's climbing. Man, the lineup at the RNC, the speakers, what an amazing testimony. These are not your average politicians that you're used to them parading out election after election. These are real people. These are real stories, real emotions. These are lives that have been changed. These are the testimony of who Donald Trump really is, not who the media portrays him as, not who the Democrats claim he is, but the Donald Trump that has had a kind heart and helped raise people up. He's given a handout. He's fought for women's rights. He's fought for women to take key positions, positions of power and authority in industry. He's reached out to minorities. He's done more for the black community than any president since Lincoln. And I believe you can fact check that. And I believe you will see that I am right. Yes, this convention this week was brilliant, and the message the Republicans are sending out are one that's positive, and you know what it really means? It means freedom, and that's what you guys need to understand. You know, I said the other day, I said, don't be simpletons. This election is not Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. This is election about freedom versus oppression. Capitalism versus socialism. And it goes on and on and on. But at the end of the day, it really just means this election is about the survival of this republic, the United States of America, as we know it, or something else. Good versus evil. And that's the reality, friends, because the moral compass is so far, far, far gone on the left. It is truly evil. And you can see it every day. You can hear it every day. And they're indoctrinating our children, and they're brainwashing us through the media that they control. And it's got to be evil. The forces that are working against this country, the forces that are working against conservatives, against Christians, the forces that are seeking to destroy this administration, our President Donald J. Trump, we know it's evil. We can see it. We shouldn't be surprised. As Christians, we've been told in Scripture over and over again that this will happen. This is what's going to happen. We're watching it play out. It should not be a surprise to us. We need to believe it. If you have faith, you should believe it, because we were told this is what's going to happen. But it's our responsibility. It's our duty to fight against it. It's our duty to hold on to the good. It's our duty to keep our freedom. It's our duty to keep passing on our heritage and our culture and our future to the next generations. And if we don't fight against this evil, we lose it. And this election, I know they always tell you, this election's the most important one. And you know what? All elections are important. But I think you guys, like me, feel it in your gut. I think you guys know that something is different about this one. And I think you're seeing what might happen if for some reason Donald loses this election. I think you guys know. We're already watching anarchy, but it's only going to get worse. And if we lose this election, well, I don't think we can fathom what that really means. I don't think you want to have that conversation with your children about what that really means. You know, when you look at things across the world, when you look at Hong Kong and the fact that they're being taken over by China again, and they had Western civilization there, they had freedom like Americans, they had a capitalistic society, and they had that for generations. That's all they knew. But now they're being taken over by China, and they're being told, hey, guess what? You're communist now. We're wondering, why are those people fighting? Look at those people in the streets. What are they fighting for? They're crazy. They can't beat China. You know why? You know why they're fighting against China? You know why they're fighting when they know they can't win? Because they have nothing to lose. Because when you lose your freedom, you have nothing left. They are fighting for their lives, and that's why they're fighting. They're fighting for their future, their children's future, and they know it's a battle that they probably cannot win, but they have hope because they know what they're losing. We don't want to be like that. That's why we have to fight. That's why we have to get this election right. We have to be that red wave. Americans' problems today are we don't understand what we're losing. We have had it so good. The generations that are voting today, the generations that are out there rioting in the streets and telling us how awful we are, they've never witnessed a bad war. They've had it so good. They've had so much freedom. They don't appreciate it. Something's got to happen. Something's got to change. How do we change that mindset? Well, we better keep what we have first. We better get out and vote and make sure we're able to keep what we have. And then we can start working on how do we fix that ideology that has crept into our system? How do we fix or how do we stop that indoctrination that is so dangerous to this country? We've got to keep what we have. We've got to fight this fight. We've got to win this fight. And then we've got to continue draining the swamp. And you know what? When you look at what happened in Wisconsin, did you guys see that kid, 17-year-old boy, Kyle Rittenhouse? His life's in shambles right now. He defended himself. I believe he was justified in his actions. He killed two people and shot a third one. They were coming at him. They were trying to kill him. They were attacking him. They were throwing Molotov cocktails at him. They had a gun. All of these people that were shot were felons, violent criminals. And this 17-year-old boy had to defend his life, and now he's being brought up on charges. Now, I think it's going to be a long court battle. I pray to God he gets good representation. I've hesitated on commenting much because I wanted to learn more. The first shooting that he was involved in, the very first one that happened, there wasn't enough information about, but as the week has crept on, more information is slipping out, and it looks like he was totally justified in that shooting. I'd be willing to say the second and the third shooting, I believe absolutely he was justified. He had to do it or he would be dead. I'm hoping all these facts make it to the court. I'm hoping he has a good defense. But the bottom line is, he should have never been there in the first place. This is the fault of weak Democratic leadership. Weak Democratic leadership. And all these Democratic-controlled cities and states that are letting this chaos and anarchy take place, and they are tying the law enforcement's hands behind their backs. And it's absolutely disgusting. And when you have that situation, when it festers and it escalates, you are going to have good citizens stepping in to fill that void. You're going to have good citizens arming themselves to protect their loved ones, protect their neighbors, protect their property. And that's exactly with what Kyle Rittenhouse did. Now, we can argue back and forth all day long about how he maybe should have never put himself in that position. But you know what? There comes a time when patriots need to stand up. And maybe that's what he was thinking. Maybe this was his time. Maybe in his 17 years, he's sick and tired of seeing the divisiveness, the hate. He's sick and tired of seeing his neighborhoods burn down, watching what's happening on the news. He wanted to be out there helping. He wanted to make a positive difference. And he wanted to defend people that could not defend themselves. When Kyle went to Kenosha, when he woke up that morning and he made that drive, I do not think he believed that he was going to be the bad guy. I don't think he intended for what happened to happen at all. I think he wanted to go there and help. There's pictures of him throughout the day cleaning graffiti up and doing a lot of good, positive things. As the night went on, the situation got more violent and dangerous, and it escalated very quickly. And they were clearly violent mobs coming after him and others like him and seeking to harm innocent people and do damage and vandalism to buildings, burn every car in the car lot. I don't think he had another choice. I'm glad he did what he did because he's still alive because of it. And I hope to God he has the right representation. I hope the DA understands the facts. I hope they're looking at all the evidence, and I hope that they understand the facts and they do what's right by the facts and the facts only, not by the political pressures that they are under. That's what I'm afraid is going to happen. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends. This is Patriot Uprising Radio. I am your host, Mickey Garris. Thanks for sticking with us today. You know, we were just talking about the violence that's going on. It seems like that's all we ever get to talk about anymore, you know? The violence that's going on across the country. Now, granted, it's only the Democrat-controlled areas. The Democrats have proven to be completely inept. I've been warning people this last several months, if what's happening in Seattle, if what's happening in Portland, if what's happening in Minneapolis continues to go on without law enforcement putting a stop to it, it's going to continue to escalate and people are going to get killed. People are going to get hurt. Now in Wisconsin, that's exactly what happened. We're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and him being there to protect the people that can't protect themselves. Him being there to draw the line to stop the criminal activity because the leadership of that area refuses to do so because they had their law enforcement's hands tied behind their back as their cities were being burnt down and businesses were being destroyed. Kyle thought he could make a difference. Kyle left his house to go help. And he ended up getting himself in the middle of a situation he probably never imagined, never wanted it to escalate the way that it did. And now his life is changed forever. He's fighting now for his freedom. He defended himself. He protected his life. He's alive today because what he did and the actions he took, but he's fighting for his freedom now. And I'm afraid the deck is going to be stacked against him because of the political atmosphere that this country's in right now. Now, I've watched all the videos. I've seen thousands of pictures. In today's day and age, there's pictures of what happened during those incidents from almost every single angle. And as the days went on, it became increasingly clear that Kyle's actions, in my opinion, were justified. The thing is, when you're in a situation like that, my friends, no matter how justified you are, it does not mean that you're without consequence. It does not mean that it's going to work out the way you're hoping it will work out. The law, the letter of the law might be on your side, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's how it plays out in the court of law, especially in such a politically charged environment. So we need to send prayers to Kyle. I'm sure there's different GoFundMe pages and things like that to help pay for his legal defense. If you can, I encourage you guys to support those. He's going to need it. And then I'm going to ask, Patriots, this was Kyle drawing the line. This happened because of poor leadership. And as I said, when you have a lack of leadership and a lack of law enforcement, eventually good citizens are going to step in and try to fill that void. What we need to understand, they don't have the training. They don't have the resources. When citizens that are good have good intentions and they step in to fill those voids of law enforcement, they're going to be more prone to making mistakes because they don't have that training. What happened to Kyle in Kenosha, the two dead people that Kyle defended himself against, the other man that got shot in the elbow that's injured, all that blood is on the Democrat leadership. All that blood is on the leaders of that community that failed those innocent citizens, that failed those business owners. Kyle never should have had to be in that position. He is in that position because of failed leadership. And mark my words, Portland, that's coming. Bad things are happening now, and it's going to continue to escalate. And people are getting sick and tired of it. And Wheeler and Dictator Brown, you guys are going to be responsible when lives are lost. You guys are responsible for the damage that has happened to these communities. Your lack of leadership, your inept ability to take command, to put a stop to this anarchy, the fact that you've tied our law enforcement's hands behind our back. When bad things happen like this, when people rise up, when patriots rise up and put a stop to this, You're not going to like how that plays out. You're going to say we were wrong. You were going to say that we were vigilantes. But you know what? This is your fault. You have created this mess. This is your responsibility. If you're not willing to step up and fix it and do what's right by the citizens, by the voters, by the people that you swore an oath to protect, step aside because there's somebody else that will. Move along, Dictator Brown. Nutless Wonder, Ted Wheeler. You are a disgrace to Oregon. You're a disgrace to Portland. You have to be. I didn't think it was possible to get a worse mayor than Sam Adams. I did not think that was possible. What is it with Portland electing these mayors that aren't able to handle anything? But we got him. Old Ted Wheeler. Gosh. And you know what's going to happen in Portland? It's a vacuum. You got people that have the ability and the means on this mass exodus to get the hell out of Dodge. They are leaving Portland in droves. They're moving to the outlying communities, the more rural areas, the suburbs. They're getting out. They don't want to be part of that city anymore because it's unlivable. It's nasty. It's not safe. The taxes are too high. There's a million reasons why, but they are fleeing that city. And the people that are left behind, they're a lot of the people that created this mess. They're the riffraff. They're the violent ones. They're the rioters. They're the anarchists. They don't have the means to leave like the other people do. And so they're there, and they're all that's left. And you couple that with defunding the police and businesses closing down. You've created a vacuum in Portland, and it's going to look like the ghettos in the 80s when the peak of gang violence was happening. And I don't think it's recoverable. There's going to be neighborhoods in Portland that are lost. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff has happened right in our downtown area, some of the most beautiful parts of the city. And I don't know that it's recoverable because the money's gone. The contributors, the good people are gone. And all that's going to be left is these violent criminals that don't contribute to society, don't run businesses, don't pay taxes. They contribute to the filth. That's the mess that Dictator Brown and Ted Wheeler have created. One of the most beautiful cities in our country in shambles now because of Democratic leadership. A story that we all know too well because it's happened in almost every city across the country that is controlled by Democrats. It's disgusting. And yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse, he might have made a mistake. He might have made a mistake, but was he wrong? Friends, you got to be careful when you put yourself in this position. We need to be prepared, but we need to be smart in our actions. If you haven't got a concealed handgun license yet, let me tell you something. Get over to American Outdoors tomorrow, Sunday at 5 o'clock, $45. Get your concealed handgun license at American Outdoors in Dallas, Oregon. Big red building right behind Walmart. I might be a little bit biased, but I think he is the best instructor in the state. You get an amazing class. You will walk out of there feeling so much more confident, have all your questions answered, and you'll be able to qualify for your concealed handgun license. Get over there to American Outdoors. That's all we got left today, folks. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.